All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, Lord, on this earth as it's in heaven. Lord, I just pray that you would give us wisdom today, understanding. Help us be faithful to you, Lord. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Extend greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." All right, I want to stop right there, I think, for just a moment. What I want to focus on is not verse 10-11, it says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstances I am." Then in let me see here. In Acts chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "So Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As even some of you, your own poets, have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by art through man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Okay, what I want to talk about this morning is contentment. Being content. The story that Brother Wilbur told to the young people about the bee that overheard children or listened to someone talking about how the bees were just workers and just poor wretches and just drones. What happened is that this little bee that heard this became discontent. And discontentment brings a reflection upon our condition and on ourselves. And it builds and grows and grows and grows. Paul said that he had learned to be content in whatever state he found himself. Sometimes I think just we look back in history and sometimes we just, or I do anyway, just long for a simpler time of life. Just when things seemed to be pretty simple. Things went at a lot slower pace. They just, that's the way the world was. Just a simpler way to live. And in the last 100 years or so, things have just changed so much. I mean, I know people who, what the saying is, they went from the horse and buggy to the moon. And we've even gone so much further than that with how being able to fly all over the world and talk with people all over the world just picking up a little thing that we carry in our pockets and can just talk to anybody in the world. And we just sometimes think, how does the Lord want us to live in this world? I mean, he made Adam and Eve and just stuck them in a garden. Basically just said, figure it out. And today we have all kinds of things. Somebody's already figured everything out for us. And all we have to do is just go through this life. And the reason I read this here in Acts is that sometimes I just wonder, you know, well, what does God want from us? And then I read this verse and it said that, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. I live right now. This is the time of the world that God has put me in. And you. This is your time. We don't live 400 years ago. We don't live 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. God has allowed us and appointed that this is the time that we are to live our lives right in this world, right now. This is where we are. We can't change that. We can't. Time moves on. And what Paul was talking about there in Philippians was saying, was be content. To be content in whatsoever state you find yourself. You know, we can think about people that are in other places and other countries of the world that are poor, that are hungry. And there's, you know, we can say, oh, how hard it is for them. But then we look at all the things that we have. And I just wonder, like when Jesus said, blessed are the poor, how much simpler it is and how much easier it is just to have nothing. And not have to contend with all these things that we have. Sure, it's not good to be hungry, and it's not good to it's hard. Not making light at that at all. But Paul said he had learned to be happy, whether he was hungry or whether he was full. We live in a time where there's just basically food everywhere. I mean, we don't have to worry at all about where food is going to come from. We don't have to, like Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. We don't even have to take any thought for that. We just have come to expect it. And not even expect it, it's just going to be there. And sometimes we don't really, I mean, why did the Lord put us in a place like this? Well, I don't know. But I do know that in whatever place the Lord has put us, we're going to be challenged and be tested on our faithfulness to Him. Whether poor, whether hungry, whether full, whatever condition, whatever state we find ourselves, we need to learn to be content. And that's hard to do sometimes. We look around and we see that life is difficult. And like I said, with all the convenience and all of the wealth that we have and all the things that we have at our disposal, just right here, the food, life should just be easy. But it's not. It's still difficult. And it's not necessarily about our outward circumstances. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, it's about our heart. Can we be content in the best of circumstances? And can we be content in the worst of circumstances? You know, we look around the world today and everybody thinks America just is where they want to be. Well, the thing about it is, it wasn't that long ago whenever America was in what they called a depression. And people were hungry here too. We don't know what the future may hold. This thing may just turn around and Africa may become the breadbasket of the world. And we're over here starving to death. We don't know. We can help as much as we can those who are without, but we just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All we can do is be content today. Be content with where God put you and the situation you're in today. Paul learned to be content. And I think contentment is being content. That it just goes through almost every aspect of life. We live in a time where everything's accessible and opportunities are all around us. And sometimes we're just not content just to let some of those opportunities just go right on by. We think that we've got to, because we live in a fast-paced world, we've got to perform at a fast-paced level. And I don't think that's what God really intends for us to do. I think He wants us to learn to be content. You know, it's pretty hard for me just to set down sometimes. And just, you know, when the sun's shining and there's things going on and there's just all kind of things I could do, just to stop and smell the roses as it, you know, just to stop sometimes. We just think we're just wasting our time if we're not just out productive and busy and doing something. We just think we're wasting things. Instead of just being content. We've got such a performance-based view on life. Instead of just being. And that goes into Christianity, our religion. Jesus was the I Am. I Am. He is. And this verse says that in Him we live and work and have our being. I've said before that Jesus said He was the I Am. He wants us to be. But so many times, instead of being just happy being in the place that He's placed us, we think we have to perform. And so much of religion is nothing more than just a life of performing religious things. And when I see myself lacking in one thing, well, I better compensate there. I better perform better instead of just being. I think religion is so easy just to get, I've got to look like I'm performing before I'm acceptable to God. And I don't think that's what He wants. I think He wants us to be. This example in Matthew, where whenever they were judged as the sheep and the goats, and Jesus brought them all up, they were all to stand before the Lord, and each man stood before God. And Jesus said, well, you did this, and you didn't do this. You helped here, you didn't help here. You loved me, you didn't love me. And the people, well, Lord, when did we do that? Or when didn't we do that? When didn't we see you? When didn't we help you? It wasn't a matter of performance to those people that they were being judged by. They were surprised. Lord, when did I see you like that? When did I? Well, it's just whenever you helped, whenever you visited, whenever you clothed. You just did it. It wasn't anything you thought you were racking up points for. Whenever you start living a Christian life on performance, you are counting. Oh, I did this. I did that. I did this. The ones that didn't do what they were supposed to do said, Lord, when didn't we do this? When didn't we do this? They had all the things that they had done all charted out. But the ones that were just being and just doing, right where they were at, right in front of their face, they said, Lord, when did we do that? And he said, well, you did that, and it was just because you were being what you are supposed to be. It wasn't a performance thing. To be content with just being what God has made you to be. Problem is we don't like that. We want to, that's not good enough. That's what I think it means whenever it talks about working is not just being, but working is trying to perform, trying to impress God with something so that I might feel better about myself or what I'm doing instead of just being what we're supposed to be. And that's where discontentment comes in. Instead of being content, we become discontent. So we have to start adding things to what God wants instead of just being or just doing what he wants. We have to create our own and start adding to it. And we're such a people. Discontentment is one of the things that just keeps this world in turmoil all the time. Discontentment. The Bible verse in Proverbs, what it's one of the things God hates is he that sows discord among the brethren. You know what discord is? Sowing discontentment. Sowing discontentment. It's all around us. If you listen to the news at all, you'll soon find, just the last week, I've heard several stories about one group of people thinking another group of people is not treating them fair. There's big stories is, the big story, or one of the big stories is there's a policeman that, or a person that was taken into custody. And the police maybe didn't do just right. But instead of accepting that and maybe even just trying to change it through the proper channels, now there's people rioting in the streets because someone sowed discord. Trying to tell people, you're not getting treated fair. You're being taken advantage of. There are people like that all around us. I mean, that gains our ear. Whenever someone sympathizes with you and say, you're not being treated fair. Poor me. You know, maybe you children, you think somebody got some candy and I didn't. Somebody did something. One of my brothers or sisters got away with something that I didn't get away with, that I got caught and I got punished for, but they did it and they didn't get punished for it. So you start complaining to yourself. That's the heart of what griping is all about, or complaining, belly aching, is discontentment. And so you start complaining to yourself. I didn't get treated fair. You start having a little pity party. This ain't right. That ain't right. And so you just Let that little bit of discontentment start growing. God ain't fair. This ain't fair. These people aren't treating me fair. And you just sit around and you think about that. And you think about that. And it just grows and grows and grows. And then pretty soon you find somebody else that you see that didn't get treated fair. And you start talking to them about it. That ain't fair. That ain't fair. And then they say, yeah, you're right. That ain't fair. And you've got a rebellion on your hands. That's the heart of rebellion. Is you thinking you didn't get treated just right. That's where rebellion comes from. You being discontent, having a little pity party, and someone else coming along and fanning that for you. Pretty soon you've got all the bees stirred up. All of them want to quit making honey. And it was just a little discontentment. That's why it's such a great sin. Instead of just being happy to be what God made you to be, we start trying to perform. And whenever we start performing and we start getting things that we think ought to be change things, fix things, then we start expecting others to be doing the same thing we're doing. And we get everybody else all stirred up. And that's where religion comes from. Whenever the Bible talks about not adding to or taking away from, it's not just this set of rules. The Bible is trying to show us the character of God. That He's a good God. And He just wants us to be what He made us to be. And when we start taking away from that or adding to it, we get things all messed up. We start creating our own religion because we're discontent to be what God wants us to be. And the devil is a master at that. He's a master at one just sitting back in the shadows just saying, yeah, you didn't get treated fair. He didn't treat me fair either. I know about him. And so God becomes this great tyrant. One of the boys gave the verse about that behind a frowning providence,
behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling
face. Okay, behind a frowning providence, there hides a smiling face. That's just a real blessing. This world has God painted out in a whole distorted picture, thinking that He's unfair. He's not just. He's not right. Life ain't fair. And if we just look at everybody and see someone who prospers and someone who doesn't prosper, we could say, yeah, it's not fair. We all should be equal. But that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be content in the state that He's put us in. What makes us discontent is when we begin to look around and see what somebody else has got that I don't got. See somebody that doesn't have problems that I have. Somebody to see somebody that isn't sick when I'm sick. To see somebody that's suffering when I'm not suffering. Or see myself suffering and somebody else not. Somebody having fun. Somebody eating ice cream when I have to eat spinach. Just whatever the case is. It's up to us to be content in the condition that He's put us in. And instead of complaining about the sad state that I'm in, if we would spend our time helping someone that's in a worse shape than we are, isn't that what He's put us here to do? Instead of looking down on somebody who's not doing like I am, like they give the Pharisee and the publican. You know, whenever we start creating our own standard of religion, we start seeing ourselves, we start looking at other people who don't measure up to what we're doing, and we begin to exalt ourselves and think that we're much better than they are. Instead of accepting what we are and reaching down and trying to help people instead of crushing someone. Give a helping hand instead of using them as a stepping stone to exalt ourselves. Reach down and help someone. Contentment. Being content. Being happy in the place that God has put us in. Problem is, we start looking around and see someone that's got it just a little better. We begin to want that. There's a Bible verse that says, I think it was Achan. That they went up against Ai and they were defeated. And they searched. They tried to find out why they were defeated. And they finally came to Achan and they asked him, "What did you do?" And he said they were supposed to have destroyed in the Battle of Jericho. They were supposed to have destroyed everything. And he looked into a tent and he saw some gold. And he saw some nice clothes. And he looked in there and he saw that. What happened? He wasn't content just to burn it the way God said. He wanted it. But he looked at it. And he began to want something that didn't belong to him. And he looked at it till he just had to have it. We're all tempted with things. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to just learn to be content in the state we're in? We live in a time where if we want something, all it takes is just go work a little bit and you can have it. But it's still being discontent, isn't it? Just because we can do it legally? We need to learn to be content. We live in a performance-based country, in a world. And I just think that, well, even a lot of the things that we do religiously are trying to perform instead of just being. And just, what is the motive behind what we do? What is the motives behind what we do? Are we trying to impress someone? Are we trying to, or are we just being? If someone has a need, is it just out of just trying to reach down and help someone? Or do we got to be doing something religious, a little better than everybody else, so we can feel better about ourselves? You know, if we try to impress, it's usually a sign of a real lack of just being. Most of us, our nature is to try to compensate for a fault or something that we don't have. So we have to perform religiously to make up for all of those things. I don't know. It's just how many times I've seen someone that's really doing something wrong, or have done something. One of the biggest things I've just noticed through my life that people, they'll go get a divorce and then they'll go remarry again, and they know they're doing wrong, and the next thing you know, they're the leader of the church. They're the one out there teaching and leading, trying to compensate, trying to make up for their discontentment. Discontentment's something you'll never feel. You'll never feel that. You just got to keep pressing on and keep being more religious and keep doing this thing and keep doing that thing. It's one of the things that we've tried to avoid in church. When someone becomes discontent and has got to go do something new, they get all excited about it and it starts spreading and they start getting everybody else involved. It's just discontentment instead of just being faithful. That's one of the things we've tried to instill. You just be. You be a young man, a young woman of character. Be what you are. And you don't have to go dress in a certain way to try to impress someone. You don't have to go preaching or doing all those things to try to impress someone. The reason we go to preach is to try to help someone. We go try to look for someone looking for help. Not trying to impress other people with how we're preachers. I think that's what Jesus was talking about whenever you go out and pray and you stand on the corner so everybody can see you. If that's the motive, if that's the reason we're trying to impress someone, it's the wrong motive. If we're not out there just because we're trying to find someone or help someone, it's all wrong. Praying, reading the Bible, studying, everything that we do religious, if we're doing it to try to compensate for what we aren't, it's all wrong. It's just religion. That's what it means. And whenever it talks about not by works of righteousness that we have done. The verse that they use so often. Trying to impress God with good works. That doesn't impress Him at all. He wants us to be and be content in whatsoever state you find yourself. Whenever you try to impress God, you just as well be, whenever you try to impress God by reading the Bible, that's not why we read the Bible. We read the Bible to learn about God, to know of His character, to know of how men, wise men, acted so that we can become better men. To hear stories of men with character that weren't trying to impress anybody, but they were just trying to be faithful. We learned David, one of the examples, he was just a shepherd. He was just faithful being a shepherd. And God called him to be the king. If we can't be faithful in those little things, the little things that God puts in front of us, He's not going to give us something else. But so many times we're not content with that. We've got to rise above. I'm better than being a shepherd. I heard a quote recently. I don't know if I can get it very well or not, but it said that those that have the least ability to lead often are best equipped to get themselves into that position and least capable of filling it out or fulfilling it. It's a terrible job, but you got the idea. Those that want to lead, those that have the greatest ambition to lead, usually have the greatest ability to acquire the position and the least ability to fulfill it. Most of the time, they get to that position because they know that people are discontent. And they can push that button of discord among others that are discontent and gain that ability, have the ability to gain that position. But that doesn't qualify you for being in the position. We are what we are. We are where we are. We are when we are. And we have to learn to live with that right now and be happy with it. So many people are trying to be something they're not. We're just not happy with what we are. Whenever you're young, you want to be older. When you're older, you want to be younger. Whenever you're just a worker, you're wanting to be a leader. A lot of times when you're a leader, you're just wanting to be a worker. Just because we're not content. I heard a poem one time or a story about the cowboys. This guy, he was the one, whenever they used to have to rope, and the guy had roped the calf, and he'd have to be the one down there in the mud, wallowing the calf around and working on it, and just down there in the mud, and he's just down there thinking, boy, I wish I could be on that horse. Riding that horse, all that guy's got it made. All he's got to do is rope the calf and drag it over here, and then I've got to get down here and wrestle it. And the guy on the horse was looking out over there at the guy sitting on the fence watching everything, keeping track of all the stuff. And the foreman, and he, boy, I've got to be out here riding on this old horse all day and eating this dust, and that old boy's sitting over there on the fence, he's just writing down, keeping track of everything, the foreman and having to just bossing people around and telling everybody what to do, and here I've got to do this, and the guy sitting over there on the fence was looking out at the guy in the pickup riding around at all the other different places, managing things, and he says, boy, I wish I could be out there on that pickup just driving around. Wouldn't have to be sitting on this fence keeping track of all of this and everybody mad at me because I'm bossing around. And the guy in the pickup, he's said, boy, I wish I was the owner. I wouldn't have to be traveling around here just trying to take care of everything. I got to run here and run there and take care of this. And every time there's a problem, they all call me, and they call me in two different places. Got to be everywhere at once, trying to take care of all these guys. I wish I could be the owner, just sitting back here, just taking care of everything, counting that money. And the owner, he's sitting in his office, just worried about paying all the bills. And he's wondering how it's going to all work. And then he looks out there and he watches the guys working on the farm. He said, boy, I wish I could be over there just wrestling them calves again. Just being out there in the mud and getting dirty, and just not a one of them was just content to be what they were supposed to be. Even the guy on top, is wishing he could be in a little different place. Everybody's got a something to go through. Everybody's life is hard. But it would be so much easier if everybody just did what they were supposed to be doing and be happy with it. Whenever you're asked to come up, go up. And if you're asked to go down, go down. Contentment comes from you. The circumstances and the things in life that come our way are out of our control. But we can be happy. The only thing in life that we can control is our attitude. That's all we can control. We can't control the weather. We can't control time. We can't control what's going to happen. But we can be content and we can be happy. We can rejoice in the Lord. I think that's one of the things sometimes whenever we're tempted to be discontent. Just stop and say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. All we have to do is be faithful to Jesus. Look what He's done for us. Look what He is. Just be faithful to Him. He's not a hard taskmaster. All He wants us to be is just what He made us to be. We can be happy with that. We can gripe and complain and wish it was something else. We can try to perform, put a bunch of stuff more on us than what's needed. Or we can just simply be happy and content. What if nature decided not to be content? Well, just think about how things would go. Just the bees. They just decide we're not going to let ourselves be abused and men eat honey. We'll just quit making it. What if the cows just decided to quit milking? What if they just decided they didn't want to be raised up for beef? What if the vegetables decided they're just going to eat me, I'm not going to grow? Well, that's what man's done. Those things are still under God's control and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And man alone has chosen to be discontent and say, I'm not going to be what you want me to be. This ain't fair. Poor me. Best thing we can do is just get over it. And be happy right where we're at. Get over it. You'll be okay. Just get over it. Praise the Lord instead of belly aching. Praise the Lord instead of crying and whining. Get over it. Quicker you get over it, quicker the sun starts shining. And when you get over it, instead of spreading discontentment, you can spread happiness and contentment. Because that spreads just like the other. You can throw a fit, cause a war, or you can spread a little happiness right where you're at. That's the neat thing. That's one of the things that convinces me most about there being a God. We see the bad and how quick it spreads. But we have the same choice to do good that we have to do evil. Sad part is it's a lot easier for us to do wrong. But we still have the same ability to do what's right that we have to do what's wrong. We don't have to do anything to impress. All we have to do is be right where you're at. We don't have to turn the world upside down. If we just get ourselves turned right side up, maybe someone right beside us might get turned back up. That's all we have to do. A world revolution happens one heart at a time. Sweeping religions don't sweep nations. Sweeping revivals start with one person at a time. Just being happy. And it starts with us. We try to force religions, force our ideas instead of just being them. All right. Well, anyone have anything you want to share?
Just be a rock. I mean, there's the world can't hardly handle someone just being steadfast, just being solid, just being steadfast. They think you're stubborn. They think all kinds of things about you. Just be faithful. what's the plan for this evening?
More main. We'll just have it at our house. That's all right.
Okay. Be at the Hammond's house for supper tonight. All right. Well, God bless you.
We're Fill